from pre-vet student to a successful career in pharmaceutical sales to now the executive director of the Kentucky Veterinary Medical Association. Thrivers, it is an episode rich with education, motivation, and inspiration today with our guest, Deborah Hamelback. Don't miss this one. Let's grow. Welcome to the Thriving Equine Professional, the podcast to grow you. Are you wondering how to make connections to build your career in the equine industry? Not sure where to look for the support you'll need to land a dream job? Maybe you're feeling frustrated or stuck where you are. Hey, I'm Jody. I was that girl with no clue how to navigate landing a great career in animal health, but I knew this is where I wanted to be. I look back and cannot believe the roles I've landed and the people I call friends. Inside this podcast, you will meet key connections, build your career confidence, and find the advice you may not know you need. So, if you're ready to grow your career and thrive in a job that you are passionate about, you're in the right place. Get the ponies fed and fill those water buckets. It's time to grow, girl. Welcome back, Thrivers. It is another exciting Thursday with one of my favorite people in the whole world as our guest today. And if there is any greater definition of a thriving equine professional in the animal health industry, I don't know who it would be. And I know that you expect me to tell the story of the connection that I have with our guests as we go through these episodes. And Thrivers, today this is a really special one because I have always said that in my journey, I have been blessed along the way with really special people at every place that I land, especially when it is unknown. And when I arrived in Paris, Kentucky in 2012 and went through the journey of my next dream job, Deborah Hamelback, you were a divine connection that I do believe God provided on purpose. You and I have shared laughs, we've shared cocktails, we've shared tears, we've shared life. We have shared so much since February of 2013 when I like to say you got stuck with me. You got stuck with me at that point in time after, you know, like such an incredible career and then stepping in as a consultant. So I want to tell your story today to our listeners. You are inspiring. You are motivating. You seem to do it all, what I say, wife, mom, boss, right? So you are an incredible wife. You are a mom to two incredible kids. And you are also the executive director of the Kentucky Veterinary Medical Association. So Deb, welcome to the Thriving Equine Professional.
Oh, thank you, Jody. That was quite an introduction. You kind of made me blush a little bit. So thank you. And I equally feel the same way. When you and I met back in 2013, you have become a dear, dear friend. And I am so proud of you for taking your dream and going with it. And you and I talked about this so many years ago and you did it. And I love watching you thrive. And so I am so proud of you and thank you for having me on today. I'm really excited to talk about all things veterinarian, equine, anything that we'd like to talk about because it's literally been my life and I'm very, very passionate about it. I'm passionate about working with younger generations. As a mom, I see that. And so, you know, there's a lot of issues and a lot of different things they face. And so I look forward to talking with you today.
Yes. So let's start at the beginning because, you know, here we are, both of us in Central Kentucky, but neither one of us from Central Kentucky. So take us back to Wisconsin and let's just start at the beginning, you know, for our guests to understand where you came from and how you got here.
Okay. I'm happy to. So I grew up in Janesville, Wisconsin, and I was blessed that I lived out in the country. We had a small horse farm. We bred our own Hackney ponies. And this became a dream and a love of my mom and her brother. So it's my Uncle Bob. So my grandparents bought a small farm. And when I was born, I think that I was just pretty much born in the barn. And so my mom was a dog groomer. And so she was able to work at home. We also bred standard poodles. And so I just grew up in and around animals. And it's just something that to this day, I will never not want to be without an animal, whether it be a dog, cat, horse, whatever. But as I started growing up, I was showing my Hackney ponies, traveling the United States. And a lot of people just think of Kentucky being the thoroughbred world. Well, it's actually a huge saddlebred and Hackney pony world as well. And so my dream as a little girl was to go to Kentucky, show in Kentucky, move to Kentucky. And it was just always a goal of mine. Then when I could drive, I started working at our veterinary clinic. Of course, I wanted to be a veterinarian. And I worked at a large 7-person practice all the way through high school and into college. I'll be honest with you. I graduated with a Bachelor of Science, but organic chemistry did get me.
And we know you're not the only one, right? You are not the only one.
I'm very, very honest about that when I speak to our pre-vet students that might be at different universities across Kentucky. So anyways, what I did though is I did an internship with Fort Dodge Animal Health. I knew that I wanted to be somehow in the animal health arena, even if I wasn't going to be a veterinarian. And so that's when I chose pharmaceutical sales. I did an internship between my junior and senior year of college at UW-Madison. And it was a phenomenal internship that Fort Dodge had. I actually called on dairy farms and worked with dealers selling mastitis tubes and vaccine. And it was an amazing venture working with veterinarians as well. And I will just say fate had it. When I was graduating from college, the Kentucky representative for Fort Dodge Animal Health, he moved on to human sales. And everybody at Fort Dodge that I had worked with already knew that that was my goal. So they held the position for me. And Randy Love was my district manager at that time and held the position. I graduated, took my exams early, did not go to my graduation, got on a plane, flew to Kentucky, and the rest is history.
The rest is history.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, Deb, I know, like we say, fate had that role in that, but I also want to point out like the connections that you built in taking advantage of that internship. And then another thing stands out to me as well. And that's the fact that you worked with dealers and dairy. And I'm really quick with our young folks that are very equine focused to gain some more versatility across species is usually how I say it. And so I can't imagine that just your ability to go in and yes, you were moving forward in the animal health space, but opening your or taking off your blinders, opening our eyes a little bit and saying, you know what, I want a role. And if that's dairy or dealer focused at this point in time, I know that I'm interested in horses, but this is going to grow me.
Absolutely. I mean, I didn't even give it a second thought. I knew where my goal was and what I needed to do to get there. And I kind of look back amongst my younger self back then as, you know, as I have a daughter in college and a son that's graduated. And you need to be able to look at all options. Never pigeonhole yourself in one arena because there's so much that you can learn by just being open-minded. And I will tell you, looking back on that internship still is one of the best summers I ever had. Getting to talk with these dairy producers and hearing their stories and about their families and how hard they work. And now that I'm in the role now with KVMA, the thing that I love the most is just talking to my veterinarians and hearing their stories. They want to be heard. How can we fix issues? And this is across all of it. It doesn't matter. It's equal. Food animal, small animal, they all are having, you know, similar issues as you talk about on your Thrive podcast, which I'm so proud of you for doing that.
Yeah. And it really is. This isn't separate industries. We are all the same and it's very small in the big scheme of things. Agriculture and equine, vet med, we are all married. And we are all, you know, fighting the same good fight. And so I think it is important to continue to your point, talking about the challenges that we face. And while those challenges might look a little bit different between small animal, food animal, and equine, the challenges are similar, and we all have to sit at the same table and discuss how we can work together in order to continue to grow and thrive. So I just wanted to point that out. So for our young people who have an interest in a pre-vet journey, right? And I think oftentimes are looking at these careers and don't know how many opportunities are out there beyond, I think I want to be a veterinarian because I love animals. I think I want to be a veterinarian. You know, if we put 100 students in a room, I say this all the time, we might end up with 30 or 40 that actually do become veterinarians. But the other 70, there are so many careers out here. And so that is what you and I just are so passionate about. In addition to supporting vet med, this animal health industry is the place to be. And, you know, so your journey kind of proves that.
Absolutely. And the one thing that I encourage for our younger people, I mean, now I'm going to go back a little bit into middle school. One of the, I think you probably have statistics in elementary school with the percentage of young people that say they want to be a veterinarian, and because they love the dogs and cats and puppies and horses and all that. But, you know, what my goal is, and this has really changed in the last probably 3 to 4 years, because, you know, as we are looking at, you know, we have veterinary shortages, and why do we have those veterinary shortages? And so one thing that we just did is a veterinary shortage working group with the Kentucky Department of Agriculture. And we really dove down into where are our issues. And it was a 18-month journey with 24 industry stakeholders. But I will tell you what, Jody, one of the places that we really need to go is into our middle schools and into our high schools. We need to be talking with these young people about agriculture, about animal health. You know, this is the food that we eat, and how does it get there? And I will tell you, that's where I'm more passionate about this issue right now than I've ever been about getting these young people involved. It's just very, very important for them to get educated.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it's so funny that you say that, because I spoke to a middle school group this, you know, just a couple of months ago. And I joked about it because I said, I don't know, middle schoolers kind of scare me. But, you know, like, let's get there. Let's start to tell our stories, because you're right. They're hungry to know what we do and our ability to make it relatable, because their interests are just blossoming. And if we can connect, then we're seeing engagement, and that's what we're looking for, right? We want them to be interested and engaged.
Right. Absolutely. And this is another just side part of this is that, you know, in between my journey of from pharmaceutical sales representative to you know, doing some consulting. And then I was the Chamber of Commerce and Tourism Director here in Bourbon County, which that was a middle part of in my journey, the KVMA Director. I will tell you, one of the things that I love the most is when we started up our leadership program in high school. And we had different days that we took the students out. And these were juniors. And one of them was our agriculture day. Jody, I couldn't believe, even in Bourbon County where we live, which is more of an agriculture county and community, that how many of these kids have never been to a farm, have never touched a horse. You know, we took them to the stockyard, a sod farm. We took them to, you know, a horse farm, and it was a surprise. So I want to do everything we can to get these kids exposed to our wonderful life of animal health and horses and cattle and all of it. So, amen.
I agree. And you and I feel the same that way. And so, and then that's kind of why we're having this conversation. So you mentioned a couple stops in your career journey. So let's go back to that early career where you truly thrived as an equine specialist. You know, you were a field sales rep. I know you did multiple species, not just equine at times. So talk to us about how you went from college graduate into your first sales role. And then how much time did you spend there? You worked in both Kentucky and Florida. Let's talk about the Fort Dodge story.
Okay. And I will just say that I would have never wanted to have my early career be anything different than working with Fort Dodge. I will tell you that. A lot of great companies, but it was very much a family atmosphere. So I moved down here to Kentucky, and I had about 350 accounts. I had small animal, equine, and mixed animal. And so for the first, in 95 to 99, I did that. I covered 3/4 of the state. And I will just tell you that, you know, that's back before we had cell phones and computers. I had a sheet of paper and I just showed up to places. I mean, I was like, hi, I'm here.
Yes.
And that's how, I'll be honest with you, some of my equine veterinarians, you know, they became like family to me. You know, I just would show up their door. So many of them worked out of their home. So I did that for 4 years. And then with Fort Dodge, we had an amazing research line for equine. And Laura Prim, who is one of our, my mentor, one of your mentors, right?
Yes.
Laura just had this drive, and she created, she was a regional manager at that time, and she created the Fort Dodge Equine Sole Department. And so I then became an equine representative solely. And that's when we were bringing out the Quest dewormer. That's when we were bringing out the new influenza lines. That's when we were bringing out West Nile. And it was just, it was an amazing time working for Fort Dodge and equine at that time. And so I called on the racetracks, I called on the farms, I called on, you know, the clinics, just really diving down into the equine world, which is where I'm happiest.
Yes.
Still, you know, met my husband here in Kentucky, and, you know, he came from an equine background and he was managing thoroughbred farms. And so him and I were just working our way up through life at that time, got married, had kids. And that's at 2002, my husband took a position down in Florida. And so while we were down there, there was an equine person in the Ocala area where we moved, but that person had moved on. So Laura Prim and our other close friend, Judy Jeffrey, they came knocking at my door. And at that time, I was actually working for the National Thoroughbred Racing Association. And so no matter what, I was always in an equine type of role. So when we were in Ocala, Florida, Jeannie and Laura came to me and they said, hey, we have this equine position open. Will you please come back to work? And so I did. So from 2005 to 2008, I worked for Fort Dodge down there working equine in Ocala. But I had University of Florida, the whole central Florida area, but then I also had the racetracks in Wellington in South Florida. And so I had that spot down there. It was really interesting because at that time in Kentucky, the sport horse world wasn't as large as what it's become now. So down there in Florida, I called on that sport horse world down in Wellington. A lot of polo players as well. So that was a whole new arena for me to learn and work with those equine veterinarians. And so I look back on those 3 years in Florida working for Fort Dodge, and I really grew as a person, learning so much more about just, you know, my little show horse world and our thoroughbred world, you know, the sport horse world with jumping and all of that. It's just amazing. And then at that point, the farm that my husband was working for called and said, we need you back in Kentucky. So moved back and have been back here since.
Yeah. And so meanwhile, you were on the road having this thriving sales professional career and you had two babies.
Yes. I had two babies.
You worked that in.
I worked that in. And sometimes it wasn't easy. You know, my family was all in Wisconsin and thank God I had a supportive mom and dad. And, you know, when Eric and I would have to travel or I'd have to travel, you know, they would come and, you know, down to the house and they would help us out. But, you know, the one thing that I will tell any type of a working parent, surround yourself with really good people, because you can create a, what, you know, you like to call a tribe, but you can create that circle around you. And it wasn't always easy, but we made it work, especially when I had to go down to South Florida. That was a 2 or 3 day trip that I would take down there. So between all of us, we would make sure that, you know, the kids were settled and then my husband could take them to school and all that. But, you know, we made it work. You just make it work. our children were great. Funny kind of story. My husband being a horse person himself, you know, he knew how to do braiding and tails and all that. Anytime that he would take my daughter to school and she was 2 or 3, they'd be like, oh, is mommy out of town? Your hair looks so perfect.
I love it. And when we were getting started today, Deb, I'm like, you know what the next episode to this is going to be? We have to have Eric on the Thriving Equine Professional podcast. Like, we will have to have your husband. So you'll be the first, you know, husband, wife. We'll twist his arm into being the next guest for us.
He'll do it. But it was just funny. I mean, he played polo through the years and until his body got broke down from it. And so, you know, it just, the horse, it has literally surrounded my entire life. And I wouldn't, right now I'm actually without a horse and I'm like, I need one back in my life again. Right.
Yes.
So, you know, it's one of those things that you think that when you go into your career as an early adult or young adult, looking back upon mine, I love all the twists and turns that it's taken. And, you know, don't ever pigeonhole yourself in one area. And I can tell you, for anybody listening to hear that are pre-veterinarians or wanting to go into the veterinary world, just make sure you keep an open mind. We touched on it earlier. As your podcast, there's great information out there. And the one thing that I want for young individuals, and even as, you know, we are in our adult years, is never stop learning. Just be a sponge and, you know, go out there and figure out how you can professionally grow, personally grow, because that's equally as important. You know, we all know that. And you want to be happy at home. You want to be happy in your work life because there's symbiotic relationships. I think that one goes along with another. And it's just really important, right, Jody?
Yeah, without a doubt. And I will usually say it in that we want you to stay curious, be curious, stay curious. And I spend a lot of time talking about our responsibility to know ourselves and, you know, really kind of grow and develop as individuals. And I sit here and listen to you, and it's easy to use the example, Jody wasn't born a good listener. But if you, as you well know, you and I were going to become sales professionals, not only successful, but significant, we had to learn, we had to listen. And the reason that we are able to build strong connections and this community of professionals is because we are curious, contributing connectors. And I think that those are just really important words to consider: how you are going to be curious, how you are going to contribute your own skills and abilities, and how you're going to build your community.
Absolutely. Which that does literally correlate to where I am now with my career. Literally.
Yes.
You know, when we moved back here from Florida, there was a couple different positions open, but that was more like a district manager and all that. And I will be honest with you, that was one time as a mom that I took a step back and said, I need to raise my kids, my family's first, because my husband was going to be then working a very time consuming job. And as a district manager, I would have had to travel quite a bit. And that's when I did take a step back for a little while, but I did a couple consulting roles for Equine. Yeah. Which led to meeting you.
And that's right.
So there was a time that I just took a little bit of step back because I knew what I needed to do as a mom. But that's when I did the chamber and tourism. But I worked with the Kentucky Veterinary Medical Association back when I was a rep. I was, you know, conferences. And I will tell you that Louise Cook, who retired after 31 years, I had several veterinarians that called me and said, would you be interested? And I said, absolutely. And I knew Louise, and, you know, her and I communicated, and I knew that this is where I wanted to be. I wanted to be there back in the veterinary world, in that space, but on a different level where I'm not selling to them, but I'm working and collaborating and hand in hand with them every day. And Jody, I've told many people this, that I want for this to be my last job. I love working with my veterinarians. You know how much I love Kentucky. In our equine world, I work with all my equine vets daily, and I love it. I love working with my food animal vets, my emergency vets, you name it. Being on this side of it, advocating for them, you know, that is an amazing part of my job now. We're in legislation session in Frankfurt, making sure that we're looking at all or any related animal bills. And in fact, Kentucky KVMA has a bill there right now to help with student loan repayment programs. And so that is something that's really near and dear to my heart.
Yes, without a doubt. And you have proven, you know, and I think you and I feel the same way. We've had multiple dream jobs. And so we can all have these goals along the way that we want to work for a company like Fort Dodge. We want to be an executive director and be involved maybe at the organizational level for a veterinary medical association, a VMA. But it really is all about the everyday that goes into this. And so it may sound cliche to some of our younger listeners to say, it's not about the destination. It's all about the journey, right? We want to repeat those things, but guys, it's true. It really is, right? Like, we have to put those goals out there and we want to be moving forward, but it truly is the everyday, the what we're learning, how we're contributing, and who we're meeting and doing life with. And I think that's just it. You built your entire life and career in order to be competent and capable of being the executive director of the KVMA, which you now are, and you're thriving in that role, right? And so it really does speak to our ability to just continue moving forward and continue learning and continue connecting with others, because you certainly are in the right place. And I know that, you know, the stakeholders in that organization recognize that. And so let's talk about a little bit about that bill that you mentioned, Deb, because I think that's impactful to our listeners, right? Of knowing what's going on. We know that we continue to hear words like shortage and crisis and pay, you know, wage gaps and things like that. So speak to us a little bit about the bill.
Sure, absolutely. As I mentioned earlier, where we had a 18-month-long program, and also Auburn College of Veterinary Medicine, Lincoln Memorial University, they all took part in this program as well. So everybody was included, whether it was your cattle producers, pork, poultry, all of us came together as an industry. One of the things that we also did is through the KVMAs, we started up student chapters. And so we started them up at Tuskegee, where we have three seats each year. So one thing that for any listeners here, Kentucky does not have a veterinary school here right now. And so 70 years ago, Auburn College of Veterinary Medicine in Kentucky created an agreement. So the way that it works is that we have 38 seats per year at Auburn and three seats per year at Tuskegee. So a total of 41 veterinarians enter into college or College of Veterinary Medicine at those two schools. And so it's been a great working relationship, and they work very well with us. And so, and then we also work closely with Lincoln Memorial University. One thing that we found is that in rural Kentucky, we have a hard time retaining veterinarians in those areas. And so the reason why is it's a student debt to income ratio. And out of this, we found that throughout the United States, there's 15 other programs that have student loan repayment programs, and they work. They get these young veterinarians out there into rural Kentucky. And when I talk rural Kentucky, we're talking equine as well, Jody. I mean,
yes.
We have a hard time getting our, you know, producers, our equine owners. And when you take a look at Kentucky, you think that we just have a lot of horses in central Kentucky. I'll tell you what, we have horses throughout the whole entire state and a lot of them. And so
yes,
the area is a real thing. We've created a map and a spreadsheet. And so what we did is we created our own bill. And so what we're doing is we're actually asking for our legislature to supply 50%. And we're working with our Kentucky Ag Development Fund for the other 50%. And the way the bill is modeled is that it's a 5-year program, and it will take up to 5 veterinarians each year. And it's a tiered model. So it's an incentivized program. So every year that a veterinarian works and completes 1 year, an amount is, this proposal is $15,000 the first year that is paid back to the financial institution. And after year five, it'll be $87,500 that will be paid off of their student loans. So we are very excited about this. We have it budgeted in the Senate. It's passed through the House. So keeping our fingers crossed.
That's so exciting.
It is. And that's where I'll tell you, I've talked to veterinarians from rural Kentucky so much these last couple of months. We're doing district meetings throughout the whole entire state. We have 10 districts, KVMA districts. So we're actually meeting with everybody. And they've all said this is what can make the immediate impact and real difference.
Yeah. So students, listen, I hope you heard that, because we are here. We are championing you, as I like to say, that our young people that are interested in these careers in agriculture, equine, and veterinary medicine, strides are being made. And there are solutions that are coming. And so we want you to come and be a part of that. And if you have an interest and you are hearing the negativity from anywhere, if you are talking to veterinarians that are telling you not to pursue vet med, find another veterinarian to talk to, because that person is not your mentor and they are not your champion. And you can tell them to come talk to us. So that's always what I say, right? Like, send them to us, because we also will help you find the veterinarians that are truly championing what they do. And there is no shortage of veterinarians that love equine veterinary medicine and food animal or large animal veterinary medicine, as well as small animal. We've got lots of people out here that love it. So if you're hearing negativity, find another circle.
Please. I cannot emphasize that enough. And that's one thing I'll tell you that I'm doing more often, and I'm getting my veterinarians and our board. I mean, they want to be involved. And you've seen that as well, Jody. And I just can't tell you that. Be working with the pre-vet clubs and getting to talk to them, and then working with our chapters at Auburn and LMU and Tuskegee, they feel like they've got a source now that they can come out and they can talk to us. And all I have to do is make one phone call to a veterinarian and I can get them on the line with them. And yes. So I cannot emphasize that enough. And I think that those pre-vet students and veterinary students that are currently going through it, they get so focused into their studies and their grades, but let's take a little bit of time just to step back and take a look at the big picture of what they want to look like when they get out. Right.
Yes.
And that's where I feel like we're making strides and a difference for these young people. And then also having a support system in place for them when they get that practice, because it's, you know, it can be daunting those first couple of years when they get out.
Without a doubt. And I think, you know, just to add to that, you mentioned, yes, our grades are important. And I will continue to say that, especially if you are pursuing, you know, a career like veterinary medicine, that the academic and clinical educational opportunities is second to none. The standard of excellence is high, and we know that. But what we've been missing is the humanity. We've been missing the human connection, and that's coming back. So I will say we are stepping out of the great disconnection of our past decade, and we are stepping into the great connection of this next season. And so it is all about us helping to build a community of champions around you. And that is the piece, without a doubt in my mind, that has truly been kind of missing. So I think that, you know, with some of what you've been doing, you talk about that support network. So you've got a group through KVMA, right, that you are focused on those younger veterinarians. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, through the student chapters, that's actually what we've done is the student chapter. So if you're listening in and you're a pre-vet student or you're a vet student, the way that this works is that veterinarians can't contact a current veterinary student unless it's on a career day. And so that's where we were able to focus and get the student chapters. And I've got a few vet students that they are trailblazers. They're graduating this year. It's our fourth year. And I cannot wait to see them and where they go in life, because they're pretty amazing individuals. But the way that this works now is they say, hey, Deborah, I want to learn about XYZ in veterinary medicine. And I contact my group They have an outreach through our districts. And so we create panels. So they've had equine panels. They've had food animal panels. We've had an emergency panels, like if they want to go into emergency medicine, specialty. And our veterinarians are so engaged with this now that these student chapters, I feel, are only going to get more and more robust and get these students that are at vet school really to listen and learn. And then they've got a connection because these veterinarians are, here's my information, here's my cell phone, call me, talk to me. You know, and that's where we see this moving. We want the Kentucky students to come back to Kentucky, and we have a very high return rate. One thing that I'm proud of here in Kentucky is we actually have a higher return rate than Alabama students in Alabama. Our Kentucky kids, they want to come home. And that's one student loan repayment bill is that they've said, Deborah, I will come home if I can get this. I will come back to rural Kentucky, you know, and that's where, you know, when you talk about passion, it's been a lot of work, but I want to see this through because I feel like we can make this difference. And I know you and I both, you know, come from our equine background here in central Kentucky as well. And there is, you know, there is a little bit of a retention issue as well. But I feel like even our equine industry and veterinarians are taking note of that. When you just talked about that disconnect and reconnecting, it's happening.
Yes, it is. It's happening. And we're seeing that. We're seeing some, you know, really exciting initiatives in and around animal health and equine vet med. And it is, to our point, we're not just talking to you today, students that are pre-vet, right? It is animal health in general and equine careers and ag careers and all of those things, because the industry is stepping up to say, we've got to support this and we are here to support it, right? So if you want to, whether you want to be a sales professional or whether you want to be a veterinarian or any of the other roles that are available to us, it's all one industry that we have to kind of know what's going on. And the more involved we get with how we can help, how we can support, how we can advocate, how we can serve, then we're really seeing a lot of energy. And to your point, there's no shortage of passion in Gen Z. There's no shortage of passion. They want to move and grow and impact and change the world. And so for the rest of us out here, let's support this. Like, there's no reason. Every time I hear a student tell me, well, I've got a professor that just says, don't do equine. And, you know, I will lose my mind, because we have academic leaders who are influencing young people and telling them not to pursue something. And, you know, it's just not okay, because
shame
on them.
Yeah. I never want to discourage any young person from following a dream that they may have. You know, the only thing that I ever just would tell these students and even young career professionals is you've got to give it time. You know, there is such a thing as a bit of a commitment that you have to make. And, you know, that's where I think that we have resources within the KVMA now, is to contact us if things don't seem to be going your way right away. But, you know, when you do get out, you know, there's different mentor programs that we have now. There's connections that we can make now. And the Gen Z, they are passionate. I have an intern right now that's working for me. She's a pre-vet student. And I'm like, gosh, she is just amazing. I can't wait to keep working with her and watching to see where she can go. But there is that passion. And the one thing that I can just say is just keep educating yourself, keep reaching out, keep talking. I feel like communication.
Yes. Amen to that. Speaking my language now. You know, to your point, I actually just talked to one of my favorite veterinarians in Eastern Kentucky the other day. And I was told the technician that she has working with her is the best technician she's ever had. Best technician she's ever seen. So again, Gen Z, these careers that are out here in and around animal health, this is a young lady that doesn't want to pursue veterinary medicine as a DVM or a VMD, but she wants to be the best tech. And she is, I've got veterinarians saying she's the best tech we've ever had.
So I'm really glad you brought that up, Jody. So that's another component of this is the vet tech world. We work very closely with our veterinary licensing board, and we just did the update of modernization of the Practice Act. That is how veterinarians and veterinary technicians can practice legally, right? So one of the things, and this goes across all of it, equine, small animal, food animal, is if you have an LVT, utilize them. So one of the that was just done is in regulations is expanded definitions, gave them title protection as well. And I cannot tell you enough is that the LVTs throughout the United States are going to become critical. And the other thing that I tell my veterinarians is, you know, they are your partner. Utilize them the way they need to be utilized and how they went to school. You know, pay them a good wage, give them the best, because they're only going to help grow your practice. And if you are a veterinary assistant, I would encourage you to go to LVT school, go get that degree, you know, become that partner in that practice. And, you know, I know that in the budget, Murray State, we have great veterinary technician schools here in the United or in Kentucky, and they're going to be upgrading their facility over at Murray State quite a bit this next couple of years. We've got Moorhead, we've got Owensboro. I can't tell you enough how critical the LVTs are here for our veterinarians. They need to look at them as a partner.
Absolutely. And there's so much energy and momentum with that group as well. I wanted to be quick to bring that up. And so whether it's an LVT here in Kentucky, whether it's an RVT or a CVT, being credentialed matters now. Go get credentialed and build your career, because you are critical and we are going to see so many opportunities for those credentialed veterinary technicians. And to that point, Deb, as we kind of get close to, you know, putting a bow around this, one of the things I want to mention is our upcoming Next Gen Equine Vet Med events that are happening this coming weekend. Will be in Texas for a Texas program. And on Saturday, April 6th, we'll be here in Lexington, Kentucky. And then at West Virginia University on Saturday, April 20th. Those are programs that are open to all undergraduates who have an interest in and around equine vet med. One of the things that we've added, not only do we have the veterinary panel, which last year was just the most incredible part of the day, but I am having a group of veterinary technicians at each of the three programs this year. So we'll have at least two technicians that are going to talk a little bit about their roles. At one of the programs, I have a certified practice manager. So again, it really is about talking about the roles and what that has evolved to, because just like your journey that we've talked about here today, you were pre-vet and then you went into an industry sales role and truly thrived, and you took time to step away and take care of your family. And then you are now the executive director of the Kentucky Veterinary Medical Association. So there are just so many takeaways from that. The importance of being versatile and nimble in your career, the importance of finding opportunities and people to connect with and grow with. And then also not to mention the importance of these support organizations. I think we don't, certainly when we're early in our careers and in college, we don't often think about organizations like the Kentucky Veterinary Medical Association, our VMAs in each state, and Equine, you know, the American Association of Equine Practitioners, you know, all of these, the American Association of Equine Veterinary Technicians. These support organizations are truly critical to the industry, but also just such valuable resources for our young people to become involved with in order to learn and grow, to gain clarity on options, opportunities, and resources that are available to them, and certainly to grow connections.
Absolutely. And one of the things I did not mention just here for here in Kentucky is what we do for our young veterinarians that are getting out of vet school is we have what's called a Power of 10 leadership program. And so there are two things that KVMA makes available through their membership. Is one is Mentor Vet, that Dr. Addie Reinhard, who is a Power of 10 graduate and a Kentucky graduate. She got her PhD and created a mentor vet program. So that's a program that is just, I would encourage every young vet getting out of vet school to take advantage of it. It's actually at no cost through your KBMA membership. And so that is literally learning about financial literacy, giving you professional help, personal help, you know, getting yourself grounded. And the veterinarians that go through that program love it. And then the next step in your journey can be the Power of 10. And that's where we really immerse these young veterinarians within the association and how it works. Several equine veterinarians have taken part of this program because, you know, they realize I want to become a leader within my own state and help the veterinary profession here. And it's, you know, the KBMA, our executive board is made up of, you know, our food animal veterinarians, our equine veterinarians. We, like you said, we work with the Kentucky Association of Equine Practitioners. We work with AEP. We work with the Kentucky Cattlemen's. And so the resources are there, and they are there for all the VMAs. I work closely with KBTA. That's our vet technicians. And so, you know, utilize us, utilize, it doesn't matter what state you're in, find those resources because each state has them.
Yeah, I think that's hugely important. And it's important to start to have those conversations at the undergraduate level, because that is really when, as I like to encourage you, the quicker you find folks that are 10 plus years ahead of you doing things you're interested in doing or working for brands or organizations that you are interested in, the more you're going to grow a professional network that is just going to start to open doors that you never dreamed could be opened because you didn't know they existed.
No.
Yeah.
I can firsthand say that in the community that you and I have definitely built ourselves around, I could have never pinpointed where I was today back 30 years ago. And I hope that the ones that end up not becoming a veterinarian, don't give up on that dream of wherever you want to be in the animal health sector, because it's amazing with amazing yes. people, right?
Yeah.
That's what I find with my veterinarians. You know, they are kind people. They are caring people. And that's why I was so excited to get back into this part of this world, because they are some of the hardest workers that you're ever going to find as well.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. So I know, like, you and I could just, I mean, we should have done this over cocktails, Deb. This might be could have been a 2-hour, 3-hour conversation. Not everybody wants to listen to our ramblings for that long though. So I know that, you know, like, you're such a amazing example of being persistent and being driven, that's some of the advice that you like to give. Just continue to be persistent and be driven. You also say, and I love this so much, so I want you just to comment on this, do good, be good. Positivity is contagious.
Yes. And that's, you know, that came from my mom. I'll be honest with you. You know, my mom, kindest persons that I've ever known. And I will just say, just be a good person. It doesn't take anything just to be kind, you know? And I can get in a bad mood the way that, you know, other people can as well. But I try to always look at the half glass full. I try to be an optimistic person. I try to be a grounded person and look at all angles, but I always do try to look at where can we make a difference? How can we help? What is the steps along that way to get to that end goal, right? And so that's the way I try to live my life. That's the way that I've tried to be as a sister, a wife, a mother. You know, I think that my kids would definitely tell you that as well. And, you know, it's kind of funny whenever I might not be as joyful and happy, they're like, what's wrong? What's wrong? You know? Because it's a pretty, you know, abnormal for me to be having an off day. But like I said, it just takes so little just to be nice. It goes yes. a long way.
And so I think that feeds right in. I always, you know, I've been asking these same two questions this year of my guests, Deb. And so you allude to your life balance as you spoke to that quote. But what is one piece of advice that you might offer to our listeners that you would share specifically about life balance? Because you know that I refuse to call it work-life balance, and they combat and compete when we do it that way. But life balance, any advice?
Yes, and probably I'm not a great one to ask right now because I've been working a lot. But I will tell you that I said this past weekend, for instance, I was not going to open my laptop. I was not going to work. And guess what? I did not. And so I took those long walks. You know, I did. I took long walks this weekend. Get outside. Feed your soul. You know, nurture yourself. You know, take that bubble bath when you want to take that bubble bath. And, you know, I just try to put in perspective of what's important. You know, I think that so many of us, especially I go back to my veterinary world, because they're just good, kind people. They give so much of themselves. And you don't want to get to that point where you give so much to yourself that you just have nothing left to give, Jody. And so I will say that, you know, I'm 51 now and I've learned a lot through the years, but take time to be kind to yourself. And you just need to do that. Surround yourself with good people. I think that life and careers, they have journeys and they have ebbs and flows. And, you know, it's hard when you're young and you're there and you're just wanting to do everything. But even as a young person and as a mom of two, you know, young people, I tell them, you know, go play basketball or go golf or you know, read that book when you want to and take that step away. Because I just think that it's really good. And also unplug.
Yeah.
Unplug. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, it can be a bit of a downer. And I find myself with that. And I'm on social media, but even my kids will say, Mom, just get off Twitter. So I have to even give myself like a correction from time to time. It's like, okay, put that phone down, you know, pick up that book. And you've been great about this, Jody, is about your book journey. That's something that is in my wheelhouse for this next couple of years, is to pick that back up.
Yes. Yeah. So important. And I love to ask that question because I believe that we are in a world that is, maybe we're starting to change it, and I'm determined to be a part of that change, but it's a hustle culture with a world telling us to do more, be more, go faster, get more done, and always be on some sort of connected device. So I love that we can simplify your recommendation for life balance to say unplug. I try and be very protective of my Sundays, you know, where I'm like, that is the day. I don't ever want to have to work on Sunday if I can help it. That might look different for some. It might be a Wednesday, but it doesn't, you know, whatever it is, just that you are making that declaration on behalf of yourself.
Yes. And I will just tell you that it's, as a wife, you know, with a husband that has a busy career as well, you know, that's something that we've committed to one another. You know, it's like, let's take that time with one another. And it's the same way, I think, just, you know, how you have to live your life, or pick up that phone and call that friend you haven't talked to in a long time, or pick up that phone and talk to your brother or sister or relative that you have not talked to in a little while. And maybe you just might leave that conversation with a smile and say, we need to do that more often. So that's another thing that I have refocused the past 5 years on myself with that.
Yeah. Awesome. Such great advice. One last question, Deb. Do you have one book or podcast that you would recommend to our listeners?
So there's a lot of leadership books that I get through my VMAE resources. I was actually just looking at a few of them before we got on today. There's not one specific book. Podcast, I do like several different podcasts. Of course, yours, I like to listen to. Find it very entertaining and very educational. I love listening to the people that you have on, and thank you for making me be a part of it, Jody. There's a couple ones that I will tell you that I like following is Unchartered. That's with Dr. Andy Rorick and Stephanie Goss. I actually had Stephanie speak at our practice management sessions with the social vet, Dr. Caitlin DeWild. So those are ones that, you know, they look at veterinary career as a whole. I love listening to them. There's another one that I actually wrote down here. It's called My Veterinary Life. Love that one. It's Dr. Anna Reddish and Marcy Kirk. They kind of go through the trials and tribulations of funny stories, stressful stories, and those will kind of make you laugh. And so those are two podcasts that I do like to listen to on my drive time. You actually turned me on to Mel Gibbons, right? Gibbons?
Mel Robbins.
And so I finally, you know, my office is 45 minutes from my home, and I do really enjoy podcasts. So
I love it. I love it. Deb, I can't thank you enough. It's always fun to be in your company. It is always enlightening and educational and inspiring. So I hope that our listeners feel the same way, because your journey is certainly one that motivates and inspires others. And then as you and I have grown in our passion to share that with young folks. And if you have an interest, there will be days that you cry. And I will tell you, listeners, you need a Deb in your life, right? Like, you need these kinds of relationships to make it through that. But the mountaintops are incredible, and the successes and experiences are, you can't even begin to imagine the richness you will experience if you are being curious and being courageous and seeking connections that grow you. And so that's what I'll say are some of the keys to what you have contributed to my life and my journey, Deb. So thank you for being a guest on the Thriving Equine Professional today.
Thank you, Jody. I appreciate it.
Have an awesome day, Thrivers. We will see you back here same time next week. Cheers. Hey, Thriver, I hope this episode inspired and empowered you to keep growing. If so, I'd be so grateful if you hit that share button and send it to your tribe so they can thrive too. And while you're there, please leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts so everyone can find the show. I love to know what keeps you listening, especially if I'm at the barn with you. I'll meet you back here same time next week. Cheers, Jody.